First off, I want to say thank you for talking with us at KWBU today.
You're very welcome.
Dina, when we're talking about Gulf War illness, what exactly does that entail?
Gulf War illness is a multi-syndrome disorder that affects six domains depending on what kind of classification system you're using. Mm-hmm. The Kansas case assessment for Gulf War illness is what's one of the predominant ways of assessing Gulf War illness, and it would look at things like there's problems with fatigue, sleep difficulties. These veterans are often very tired because they're not sleeping well. There's widespread pain, such as musculoskeletal pain and nerve pain. There are neurological problems. They have chronic headache and a lot of difficulty concentrating and thinking, some memory loss. Skin rashes are very common. GI issues such as constant diarrhea or stomach cramps. Mm. So it's a very, very debilitating disorder.
As you've just said, GWI presents itself through multiple and diverse symptoms, and it can even take a while before it's apparent that someone suffers from it. All that has led many to call it a perplexing sickness. So with all that in mind, how do you even go about trying to find something to treat it?
That's a very good question, and you're right. It does present in many different ways. The differences in the symptoms that people will have, usually for it to be diagnosed as Gulf War illness, you have to have three out of the six categories that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there can differ amongst the same veterans who were in the Gulf War during the time that all this was happening has to do with what their toxic exposures were. Some were closer to the munitions demolition sites. Some were closer to when the oil wells were burning, and so they were exposed to toxic stimulants coming from the oil wells. Some, it's more associated with the vaccines that they had or the exposure to pesticides. And so that's why you can see different sets of symptoms in different people. But that, of course, makes it difficult to know how to treat. And right now, the research is getting to looking at potential medications that can help. And there's a lot of research trying to find some biological markers that would definitively say that these people have Gulf War illness and help distinguish them.
The research you and your team will be conducting is going to identify biomarkers to help find an appropriate treatment for GWI. Can you explain what a biomarker is and how studying that might help you?
Right. Well, this study that I'm doing right now is not so much going to identify a specific biomarker to identify Gulf War illness. But what we do hope it does is perhaps identify subtypes or people who are most helped by the medications that we're going to be administrating. So the two medications that we'll be giving in this trial have been shown to be effective in fibromyalgia. And many Gulf War illness patients have symptoms very similar to fibromyalgia, if not fibromyalgia on top of their symptoms. Since they are three medications known to be helpful for treating fibromyalgia, that are FDA approved, it makes sense, given the similarities between the symptoms, to try and find out if it helps Gulf War veterans. And again, if it does, then we would want to see who does it help and who does it not help, and can they be differentiated by the interaction and the interplay with their genetics makeup.
Now, in 2006, the Department of Defense initiated the Gulf War Illness Research Program. What have we learned since then, and what remains a mystery around GWI?
I think the evidence is very, very clear now that there's a clear association between exposure to toxins and the symptoms. So initially, when people began complaining about these illnesses, because there wasn't any medical illness out there that would explain what people were experiencing, it was thought to maybe be psychological or psychiatric or somehow a mental health issue. So initially, some of the research went in that direction. We now know for sure that there's absolutely no psychological or psychiatric component. It's definitely a medical phenomena. We now know that there's at least six domains that it affects, And we know that the acetylcholine system is highly affected by the toxins that people experienced. So that is one of the neurotransmitter systems that we're researching to find out how we could help help people recover from the symptoms. In addition, because it has now been characterized, which makes it easier for research study, more and more we're able to begin to look at medications that may be out there to try and treat some of the symptoms. It's difficult to do when at first you get a group of people coming and they all seem to have very different symptoms. But if you can actually categorize them into to fit into one diagnosis, that certainly helps with research.
So that's definitely the largest challenge around GWI as far as even from diagnosis to potential treatment.
Absolutely. And the same challenges were for fibromyalgia, for chronic fatigue syndrome. A lot of these very different diseases and disorders are very difficult to classify, and they take research to narrow it down.
And, you know, in the outline you sent me, there's a brief, like a table right at the front, and you know, that takes a look at three different federally sponsored clinical trials to treat GWI, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an antibiotic treatment, an exercise regimen of sorts, and something called a nasal continuous positive airway pressure. And
right.
it looks at all the varying results for those. But can you explain those treatment methods a little bit? And I mean, and how they might help?
I don't know enough about some of those other studies. I do know the airway one seemed to be helping, and that is because of the fatigue and the sleep issues that a lot of Gulf War veterans have. So my assumption would be that if you're helping with the airflow, if you're helping people breathe better during sleeping, so perhaps they're not waking up with sleep apnea, that would certainly help somewhat. That would help with fatigue. It wouldn't necessarily help with any of the other symptoms.
You know, reading through the little outline, the research outline, it says, you know, in the last 4 years, there have been three FMS treatment drugs that have been approved by the FDA. You know, how much of our understanding now or how much of this research involves how those treatments work?
I think a lot. One of the collaborators on this research project is an expert on fibromyalgia. His name is John Russell from San Antonio. And what's fibromyalgia, the main presenting symptom and the way it's diagnosed is through a tender point exam. So there's 9 tender points that a physician will touch on the arm and the legs and the neck that are very sensitive to touch, more so than it should be. And fibromyalgia is a syndrome where there's a lot of pain and pain to touch, which is similar to some of the symptoms of Gulf War illness. And so the two medications that we're testing that are efficacious when treating fibromyalgia, one of them is duloxetine, which is thought to affect mood and to have some mild analgesic effects. So we're going to test that by having people take it in the morning. The other medication that is helpful with fibromyalgia is pregabalin. And that is thought, it's a anticonvulsant, but the other effects are on neuropathy. Neuropathy are like the pain and nerve endings that you would get for diabetics. And again, many Gulf War veterans have those kinds of symptoms. It's also sedating. So we want them to take that medication at night. It will help them fall asleep and help restore some of their rest. Because even if you can get them to sleep a lot, their sleep isn't restorative. They still wake up very fatigued. And we're hoping with these two medications right now, we're testing them separately. But if they both show promise, then one would hope that we could give them together or test them together against placebo. I also know that some physicians in VA are using these off-label because there is no treatment known for Gulf War illness, but there's already some evidence that it should work. It just hasn't been tested in a randomized controlled trial, and so that's what we're trying to do.
So you're trying to get that, I guess, proof that
yes.
that 100%.
Exactly, because it's great that there's case reports that maybe somebody gets better on a drug, but you never know what the reason is. It could be that just having the attention of the physician helps, and so somebody feels better. Until you compare it to a placebo control, you really can't be sure how it's working.
And so, have the advances in these other treatments Is that what's kind of spurred this research point right now, or what's brought you to this point?
Talking to a lot of other Gulf War researchers who had been at this a lot longer than I am, I'm relatively new to the field since I joined VA. I was an alcohol researcher. But Lee Steele, a former investigator from Baylor University, a professor, I think she's now moved down to Houston. She was aware of these two medications. She introduced me to John Russell, and together we began to work on this protocol, hoping to get it funded. And fortunately, we were successful at getting it funded at VA, and that's how it all started. She and her experience with other Gulf War investigators really felt that this was the way to go. And at the time it was funded, in 2013, I think I was first funded, it was one of the first medication trials in VA and also for Gulf War illness. There are more now, but not that many more yet.
Dr. Davidson, thank you for talking with KWBU today.
You're very welcome.